What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 30 of A Disciple of Christ, A Season of Commitment. Today's devotion is titled, Honest to God. Josh Smith and Daniel Aiken once wrote, "Greater honesty with God cultivates greater intimacy with God." Our text for today is Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. The phrase honest to God has been used by many as an exclamation to emphasize their truthfulness of a particular statement. Its origins can be traced back to the late 19th and early 20th centuries, particularly in American English. The phrase likely evolved from earlier expressions where invoking God served to lend credence to a claim. The use of the term honest conveys a sense of authenticity, while to God implies that the speaker is promising to be truthful by the highest regard. While honest to God has been used by many as a rhetorical device to underscore the seriousness of their promise, it has also been used flippantly for people to attempt to persuade others to believe them. Rather than using the phrase, honest to God, to promise others that we are telling the truth, we should focus on being honest to God in our prayers. In Psalm 13, David is completely honest with God. In other words, he doesn't try to hide what he feels when he is talking to the one who knows all things. Josh Smith and Daniel Aiken discuss David's honesty in this psalm. It's difficult to imagine anyone being more honest with God than David is in these first two verses. Four times he asks the question, how long? He is in a season of what feels like unrelenting suffering. He feels as if God has forgotten him, as if God is hiding from him in verse 1, as if God is ignoring him, and as if God has allowed his enemies to triumph over him in verse 2. These are feelings that all of us, if we are honest, have felt at some point in our lives. When reading the Psalms, it is important to allow your heart to feel the emotion of the text. It is not enough just to understand the text. We must allow its emotion to capture us. Do you feel the emotion in these two verses? David is accusatory, frustrated, angry, irritated, and confused. He does not hesitate to express all of that to God. David looks to heaven and says, "Hey, God, what's going on with you? Where are you? How long are you going to ignore me and allow me to suffer?" We are not surprised that David feels that way, because we have all felt that way. We are surprised that David told God that he felt that way. We are surprised by David's honesty. Something about it feels sacrilegious. But the irony of feeling that way and not expressing it to God is that God knows exactly how you feel. Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2 shows us that God wants you to pour out your heart to Him. He welcomes your honesty. In verses 3 and 4, David moves from accusing God to asking God. He makes three requests. He asks God to listen. He asks God to restore. And he asks God to bless. In doing so, David asks the Lord to light up my eyes, in verse 3. He is asking the Lord to wipe away the tears and return the sparkle. This means to restore, energize, and refresh. David understands the physical toll emotional strain can take, and he longs for God to restore him spiritually and physically. Finally, David asks for the Lord's blessing. God had promised to bless David, but it feels as if the blessing of God went to his enemies in verse 4. They seem to be prevailing while David is suffering. David wants the Lord's blessing turned toward him. It is clear in verses 3 and 4 that David begins to turn a corner. After feeling lost and ignored, he pours out his heart to God by stating not what he really feels, but what he really wants. He is moved to longing. He longs for God to listen to him, restore him, and bless him. David is headed in the right direction. Whenever we move from accusing God to asking God, we are moving in the right direction. We are moving toward greater intimacy when the cry of our hearts is one of longing for more of God. We have no idea how long it took David to move from verse 1 to verse 5. But he eventually worked his way to a place of acceptance. He starts with a simple but in verse 5. But in spite of how I feel, but in spite of what appears to be true, but in spite of my circumstances, I have trusted in your faithful love. In these verses, for the first time, David feels confident and resolved. He is confident in the Lord's love. He is confident in the Lord's salvation. He is confident in the Lord's blessing. The confidence of verse 5 is a dramatic departure from the accusations in verse 1. Somehow, in this process of lament, the Lord has reminded David of what is true. And David has chosen to believe it. But David is not only affirming his confidence in the Lord, but also affirming his resolve to act on his confidence. This is always the nature of true faith. David says, "I have trusted. My heart will rejoice and I will sing." These are all acts of faith. It is not blind faith. It is faith rooted in his confidence in what he knows to be true about God. David is choosing to believe and respond to the truth he knows. God is answering David's prayers. God is bringing David back to a place of confidence and hope. David continues to make progress. This is what happens in our prayer life when we are honest to God. Greater honesty with God indeed cultivates greater intimacy with God. Honesty also allows our hearts to understand and receive God's truth. Some questions to consider. Do you feel the freedom to be honest with God? Why or why not? In what ways can your honesty open up more intimacy with God that leads to greater trust in Him? And finally, what progression can you see in these six verses of David moving from frustration to faith? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.